This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Think about how Jesus operates. Remember when he came to Lazarus? Lazarus had died. In fact, Lazarus had been 4 days in the grave. And Jesus came and wanted them to move the stone away from the grave. And remember what Lazarus' sister said? Oh, I love this because, you know, the Bible is real. She said, but Lord, it's been 4 days. He's stinking by now, Lord. Didn't faze Jesus at all. Remember what Jesus did? He said, move that stone away. And then he stood there and he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened. Amen. Anybody remember that picture of the mummy? You see that? That's what Lazarus must have been like, because they had him all wrapped up. And he got up when he heard that voice from Jesus, came out of that grave. I don't know if he was going like this or what. But when Jesus spoke to him, even though he was 4 days dead, what? The man got up, praise God. You see, Jesus spoke the word of authority. When he spoke to the mountain, it was with absolute authority. It never crossed his mind that Lazarus wasn't coming out of that grave. If you go read the account, you'll see that Jesus didn't even pray in the sense that we pray. He didn't go, oh, Father, please bring this man forth so everybody can see that I'm your son. No, all he did was say, God, I give you thanks that you always hear me. And then, Lazarus, get on up out of there, praise God. He spoke with authority. And what he's telling us is that if we can speak to the circumstances, to the mountains in our lives with the same authority, they have to move. They have to move. I remember a couple of years ago now, not far from here, just over there, I was driving in my car, came to a stoplight, and I looked over on the sidewalk and there were three young men. I have never seen three more evil-looking guys in my life. I mean, they just looked like, if you look at them wrong, they'll take you out. So you know what I did, of course. Thank you, Lord. I kept on driving. Amen. Amen. But you know, there's one circumstance in which instead of keeping on driving, I could have got out of my car and I could have got those three guys looking evil like they were looking and said, I want all of you to line up against the wall and show me some ID. What would be that circumstance? If I had on a blue suit with a badge here and a gun here. Amen. Because what do that badge and that gun give me? Authority. Authority. If you have authority, you can stand up and speak to any situation. So now, as a Christian facing some mountains in your life that need to be moved, where do you get the authority to speak to that and know that it's going to move? Well, let me give you a hint. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Where do you get the kind of faith that can allow you to speak to the mountains in your life and know that God is going to move that mountain out of your life for you? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of you believe that if I wanted to, I could climb up to the top of this building, step over the side of the roof, and float gently to the ground? How many of you believe that? I'm not getting any takers here, amen. Now, understand, I would reach the ground, but it would not be gentle. Amen? catch it. I don't have the power to keep myself from going splat when I reach the ground. No matter how much I love Jesus, amen, if I step off that roof, splat. But catch it. How many of you know that God could just speak the word, get two angels, now they would be big angels, but two angels to come and take me under each arm and gently bring me down. Amen? Can God do that? Amen. Amen. You wouldn't even see the angels, so you'd be going, how did he do that? Catch it. As long as it's me, I can't do anything. On my authority, I don't have the authority to say, I'm going to get up on the roof and float to the ground. I can't make it happen. I have no authority for that. But suppose I opened up the word and I saw in the word of God that if you pray to God in the name of Jesus for him to let you float down from the roof, it shall be done. Do I have authority? If the word of God says it, what? It's the truth. Now, please, everybody understand. Kids, understand there's no prayer in the Bible that says you can climb up on the roof and jump off. Amen? Amen. So please do not do this. That was just an example, an illustration. Amen? Amen. But the point is simply this. If God said it in his word, it is the truth. It is the truth. And let me just give you an aside for a moment. This is not part of the message today. But if you are following Christ, if you are serving him, there are going to be some times in your life when God will ask you to do something that will seem like he's telling you to step off the roof. And you'll be going, oh God, but how can I do that? I will go splat. And he's saying, just trust me, step on out, and I'm going to bring you safely to where you need to be. Now, here's the point of all of that. If you're going to speak to your circumstance, your situation, your mountain, and see it moved, you've got to have authority, and you do not have that authority in yourself. The only place that authority comes is from the Word of God. I remember in my mom's house in Tennessee, when I was cleaning it out, I wanted to put some stuff or get some stuff out of the attic. And there was a ladder there to go up into the attic. And so I put the ladder under where the entrance to the attic was, and I started up the ladder. And some of you guys, you know what it's like. You get on the first rung of the ladder, and okay, it's kind of okay. You get on the second rung of the ladder, things starting to feel a little bit shaky. And by the time you get to the third rung of the ladder, you're going, this is not worth it. Amen. And so I never did get up to the attic. You see, I needed a ladder, but my ladder did not have the strength to support my weight to take me up to where I needed to be. Now, you know what most of our problem is as Christians, why we can't believe this verse? That ladder is like our faith. Amen. And for most of us, our faith does not have the strength it needs to support us so that we can reach up and connect with God's power. And when we try, we start getting shaky. Start getting shaky. Amen? How many of you believe that God can cure a headache? Anybody believe God can cure a headache? Amen. Do you ever pray for God to cure you when you have a headache? Amen. Praise God. All right. How many of you believe that God can cure cancer? Amen. 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 But let me tell you something. It is easier to believe God to cure a headache than it is cancer. And you know why? A four-letter word, fear. Amen. Just like doubt short-circuits your faith, fear tries to short-circuit your faith. And when you want to believe God, let me tell you what. A headache is like the first rung of the letter. Amen. I can believe that. But by the time I get up to cancer, I'm starting to get shaky. I need a firm foundation. Amen. And the word of God is the foundation upon which my ladder of faith can rest so that I can move up and connect to God. Go over to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Here's the thing that I can know about God. When I start putting my ladder of faith on its foundation so that I can reach up and connect to God's power to deal with my circumstance in life, this is what I can know about what God tells me in his word. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. Look at this. God is not a man that he should lie, Amen. Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Do you see it? If God has spoken it, is he a liar? No, he has never lied. He has never not followed through on what he has promised to do. And so I have that assurance based on the word of God. If I find it in the word, if it applies to me, if it's the promise of God that's for me, I can stand on it. It is a firm foundation. And therefore, if you are facing a circumstance in your life that you need to have dealt with, you need God to move in that situation on your behalf. The first thing you need to do is to go get some word on that situation. You need to find out what promise has God made in his word that you can stand on. We talk about this often. If you have a financial situation, what's one promise you can stand on? My God will supply what? 75% of my needs. All of my needs. Amen? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am David now. This is David. I'm quoting David. I was once young and I'm now old. See, I'm quoting David. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can you rely on that? See, that's a firm foundation for your faith, amen? They're trying to do you in at work. Your boss does not like you. Your co-workers don't like you. And what are you saying? They're going to stab me in the back. No, no, no. Isaiah 54:17 tells me what? No weapon that's formed against me will prosper, amen? And every tongue that's raised against me, what will happen? I shall condemn, praise God. That's my heritage as a child of God. You see, there are promises in the word that I can stand on and know that when I take that promise and apply it, speak it into the circumstance of my life, God has promised he's going to move. The word of God says that for those who please the Lord in the way they live, he will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. Could anybody use that promise today? Amen. You see, you use that as a foundation on which to stand. So let me tell you something. If you need God to move in your life, the first thing you need to do is find out what God has promised you, because that is your only authority by which you can speak to your mountain and see it move. Understand this. Faith is not something that you just have or don't have. Faith is something that you build. And how do you build it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And catch the way it says that. It does not say that faith comes by having heard once 20 years ago. What's it say? Faith comes by what? Hearing. What does that mean? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen? In other words, you got to stay in the word, get the word on your situation every day. I don't care whether it's a headache. I don't care whether it's you don't have enough money. I don't care whether your wife or your husband's getting on your nerves. I don't care what it is. God's got a promise in the word to cover that situation, and you need to be able to stand on it. Amen. That's step number one. But here's where I really want to get you to today. We've talked about all of that so much of the time. I want to take you one step further today. Faith, the word of God, is the foundation for my faith. It's like the floor. And I put my ladder on that floor to get ready to climb up to where I can connect to the power of God. But not only does the floor have to be strong, my ladder has to be strong. My faith itself has to be built up. How do you build your faith and make it stronger? Not only does it take the word of God, it takes experience. It takes experience. Can I put myself on the line for a moment? How many of you trust me? Come on, you better raise your hands. Amen. Now think about this for a moment. You know, here I am speaking the word of God to you, and you trust that. Those of you who are members, you come back every week to hear the word from me. I know you trust me to speak to you the word. But suppose you had never seen me before. In fact, I was out there on the street corner and you were driving by and you saw me out there preaching. All right? How many of you would stop your car, get out of your car, come up and sit down in the front row and say, I trust that man? No, why not? You don't know me. You don't have any experience with me. You don't know what I'm doing. Amen? Catch it. Our faith in God is also strengthened as we have experience with God. You have an initial level of faith. The Bible talks about the measure of faith. When you put your trust in Jesus, you have a measure of faith. But you know what strengthens your faith? As you see God work in your life and come through for you. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me show you an example. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 34. I love David. David's such a great role model for what it means to be a man of God. Look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 34. David's getting ready to go out against Goliath. And he's standing before King Saul saying, King, I can do this. Look at how he justified himself to Saul. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Do you see where David's confidence and authority came from? Amen. David was looking at 9-foot-tall Goliath. David's a little guy. And he says, I can take him. I can take him. What gave him that confidence? Well, he said, look, I used to be out in the field with my father's flock of sheep. And when a lion came along, wanted to take one of the sheep, I'd run over to the lion, I'd grab him by his hair, and I would sling him to the ground and kill him. And then a bear would come, want to take one of my father's sheep. I'd run over to the bear, grab him by his beard, throw him to the ground and kill him. What was he saying? God was with me with the lion. God was with me with the bear. I've already seen God operate. Amen. And if he could do it for a lion, and if he can do it for a bear, guess what? He can do it for 9-foot Goliath. You see where his confidence came from? Let me tell you something. If David had never had an encounter with a lion, if he had never had an encounter with a bear, he would not have been ready to take on Goliath. It was through those encounters and seeing God work for him in those situations that he gained the confidence in what God would do to be able to stand up with Goliath. Now, let me give you another aside right now. How many of you feel sometimes like you got some lions and tigers and bears coming at you in your life? Amen. Understand, you know why God allows those lions and tigers and bears to come at you? Because you're supposed to beat them. You're supposed to beat them. You're supposed to take hold of the word of God and overcome that situation so when Goliath shows up, you have no fear. Amen. I've already dealt with the lion. I've already dealt with the bear. And God was with me, and praise God, we're going to deal with Goliath. Do you see what happened here? David found out that as he would test God with a lion, test God with a bear, he found that God always came through, and that gave him the confidence to be ready for Goliath. Here's what I'm telling you, you need to do. You need to call on God for the little stuff of life. You don't need to wait until the doctor comes and gives you a bad report and says we can't do anything about it. You need to start right now. You wake up in the morning, you got a headache. You know what you need to be doing first thing. Lord, you told me that you are the God of healing. I am standing on that word of healing. In the name of Jesus, head, get yourself straight. Amen. Speak to your situation. Can God heal headaches? Amen. You need to start with a headache. Can God heal a hangnail? Start with a hangnail. Or the one that I always talk to you about. Can God find you a parking space?
Amen.
Amen. If you need a parking space, and I always have to say this now, if you were just playing around and you were late because you were too lazy to get out on time, don't expect God to make it up for you. Amen. But if you need to get someplace and you need a parking space, and guess what? You can ask God for parking spaces. Does God have any concern about parking spaces? Let me tell you something. God does, he owns, you know, the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the whole world. But God does not have a car. He doesn't have to drive in a car. God is not concerned about parking spaces. Do you know that? Let me tell you, though, what that means to us. Think about a child. You have a little girl. And I don't know how old she is, maybe 4 or 5, but she has a doll. And that doll gets a broken arm. The arm comes off. And she comes up to you and says, Daddy, my dolly's broken. Now, men, how many of you like to play with dolls? Let me just see. If you raise your hand, my counseling office is right back here. Amen. All right. Look, most men don't care about dolls, isn't that right? But what do you care about if you're a father? You care about your child, isn't that right? You care about your child. You couldn't care less that little doll's arm is off, but you care that your child is upset. And so you take the little dolly and you fit the arm back where it's supposed to be. Why? Because you are concerned about dolls? No, why? You're concerned about your child. Go over to Psalm chapter 138, verse 8. Look at this. Here's another one of those promises in the word that can be a firm foundation for your faith. Psalm chapter 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. What did it say? The Lord will perfect that that concerns me. God may not be concerned about dolls, but he's concerned about you. And when you come to him and ask him to meet you at your place of need, even if it's a little thing, guess what? God is there to perfect that which concerns you. You get up to go to work in the morning and your car won't work. Now, let me tell you something. In the scheme of things, that's not a big deal. That's not Iraq. That's not Al-Qaeda. That's not War and Peace. It's just, you know, your car doesn't work. But how many of you know you can pray for God to get you to work? Amen? Because God is concerned about what? About you. Amen? So here's the deal. Saints, whatever it is that you need for God to move in your life, you need to start asking God. You need to begin to build your faith with the little things. Don't be saying, oh, I don't want to bother God with that. That's too little for God. There is no such thing as something that's too little for God if it's of concern to you, because God is concerned about you. So you got a headache, bring it to God. You got a nasty situation at home, bring it to God. You got something going on at work, bring it to God. And watch God work for you. Hallelujah. Watch God work for you. And as he deals with those lions and those bears, one day Goliath is going to show up in your life. And you'll be ready for him. I want you to look at one final thing. Go over to John chapter 2. Talking about the little things of life. The fact that God is concerned about us in even the smallest things that we have to deal with in life. In John chapter 2, Jesus had gone to a wedding. And in the wedding, they ran out of wine. You remember the story. And Jesus' mother turned to the attendants and said, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And Jesus turned the water into wine. Look at verse 11 of John chapter 2. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Do you see the progression here? Was Jesus concerned about whether or not they had enough wine at this wedding? No, they messed up. They don't have enough wine, send them down to the wine store, get some more wine. I don't know what they do. Jesus was not concerned primarily about wine, but catch it. His mother came to him and said, these folks have a problem. Would you do something about it? And Jesus responded to his mom. In other words, he was not concerned about the wine. He was concerned about her. Amen? And he did what she asked him to do, even though it was an itty-bitty little thing. But what was the result of it? It said, first of all, he manifested his glory. You got to see the glory of God. Amen? And what's the second thing that happened because of that? His disciples believed. You see, their faith was strengthened because they saw this little thing with just turning, giving some wine into the wine, into the party. But because of that, one day, Peter would be able to go to the Gate Beautiful, see a man there who had been crippled from birth, and say, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And see that man get up. Where did he get that kind of authority? He got it because he started off seeing Jesus do a little thing just for his mom. You need to ask for God to move for you in the little things of life. I don't care how small it is. I don't care how trivial you think it is. You need to start off by seeing God move in your behalf. Get your lions and get your bears. Overcome them in the name of Jesus. Speak to your headaches. Speak to your parking spaces. Speak to that person that doesn't like you and you're saying, God, change their heart toward me because I don't want to have to put up with this for the rest of my time in this company. Lord, change their heart. And God changes their heart, and even your enemy becomes at peace with you. You see, you need to see that over and over and over and over again. So when it does come time, when Goliath presents himself, you are ready. I already dealt with my lion. I already dealt with my bear. Goliath, you want some of me? Come on. In the name of Jesus, be you removed and cast into the midst of the sea.